How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, hour five of the G-Bag Nation now on 105.3 The Fan, and we are just an hour away from the Rangers pregame show as they take on the Rockies. Get this week started, and hopefully it starts with a bang. If it goes any as well as it did last night or yesterday afternoon, 8-0 win. Hopefully we'll be in for a very exciting evening of Rangers baseball here on The Fan. Okay, but as Chiafalo told you just a couple of hours ago, this offense is actually underperforming the pace that it was last year at this time. And it's a tough pill to swallow. I was under the impression for a lot of the first month or so that we were making progress. You know, with the way that Josh Young was playing and the tears that Jake Berger has been on, I wanted to believe. But it might just be the case that this offense is every bit as pathetic as last year's. Okay, so that sets the stage for Around the Bases and tonight's pregame show, which is coming up at 7 o'clock, and the opportunity that's sitting in front of them. They got about another 30 games to prove me wrong and to hopefully keep this thing together. All right, here's Wolchuk with your proper round tripper.
All right, let's go around the bases now.
You don't know how to play first base.
Scott? That's right.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
There's no crying in baseball!
You play ball like a girl!
Hey, if for those that don't know, life-changing, the Tommy John underwear.
Could tie it with one swing. High drive! It's tied!
Woo! Yeah, a bit weird. Rangers still don't have their lineup guard out. So we don't know the lineup yet tonight, but we do know, thanks to CY breaking it here in the G-Bag Nation on 105 through The Fan, that Corey Seager is going to be on the IL. Now, they are going to recall Hellman, and he is in Denver. He is with the club right now, but the back issue for Corey Seager does mean he is going on the IL. The hope is he's going to be back for the first home game against the Houston Astros over the weekend. Hopefully, this gives him a chance to kind of reset. He's been awful. It's the worst 40-game start to Corey Seager's career, so maybe this is just what the doctor ordered.
But yeah.
Let's just hope he does make it back for this weekend.
I think it's the worst 40-game stretch. It's not just the start. It's of any 40-game period in Corey Seager's history.
It's bad.
And it is tough, but I...
But it's still Corey Seager, right? He's going to turn it around.
He will. A lot of people felt like maybe he needed a mental break, like they were detecting signs of give up or frustration. It went from pressing to is he giving up? And time off is the only thing that cures that. You know, when you're in that mode of being frustrated, only time away can give you the proper distance that you need to be detached and make unemotional decisions about what happens next.
Yeah, and now we'll find out. You know, he was in that 0-for-27 slump. You know, maybe this is what the doctor ordered. To Jared's point earlier, you know, I don't think he's a guy that is going to take time off well. But now you don't have a choice, right? It's like, dude, we saw inflammation in the back on the MRI. We got to sit you down. So go ahead and reset. Shout out to Jake Berger, though. He sure was clutch, and he has been this year. Like, if you were looking for one positive offensive stat, Jake Berger's got a .316 batting average in high leverage situations. That's the fifth best in the American League among players who have had 20 or more plate appearances. So if the Rangers get a good inning going and you got runners aboard, the guy that you want in the box is indeed Jake Berger. And hopefully this weekend he's in that position a lot against Colorado, because that ball can certainly carry and fly the hell out of the ballpark.
Yeah, this is the time, man. Get that consistency going.
I mean, really, this entire offense, like Colorado, Houston, you're playing against some bad teams. And now is really where you need to. And losing two of three against Houston was not a great opportunity. But I do think overall, like, there's something to them scoring first. Today, there was a stat out there. They're 17-3 this season in games that they have scored the first run. So playing from ahead, like, I don't know if that's a mental thing. Like, okay, fine, we got one on the board early. Now we can go ahead and just kind of relax. But they are a team that has played well when they strike first.
2-1-4
tonight.
Says Gavin sounds like he's already given up on the Rangers. He just wants to talk about the Cowboys and the NFL. I've not. You know, we have a long way to go to a training camp.
Yeah, we do. We got to get this thing going.
We got 10 weeks to go, and I love watching the Rangers. I love having them on. I love having them be relevant. And whether they are, you know, winning or not, it's a great way to pass your summer months in sports. But I think it's notable that after 2+ years of this, we're now getting to a point where if it doesn't start performing, they might sell the farm, or they might sell the veterans for farm pieces. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to live in that 2017 to 2022 Rangers world ever again, Wolchuk.
No, I don't either. Because it's been kind of hell, and it's just average. Now, we did get the lineup dropped, okay? Just came out. Shout out to the 214 looking out for us. Breaking news, lineup's out. Guess who's leading off tonight, boys?
Well, it certainly Nemo. Can't be Jock.
It's Kutch.
Kutchy.
So as we talked about earlier, he's got a good history against Quintana.
Oh, great pull.
So Andrew McCutchen's going to he's gonna lead off. He's going to DH. Nimmo's going to bat second. Young's at third. Jake Berger at first. Danny Jansen's going to be catching for Mackenzie Gores. He has all year. Durant sliding in. He's going to stay at shortstop. Foscue at second. And then Haggerty's going to be in left field with Evan Carter off tonight. Unless maybe he pinch hits once you get a lefty out of the game in Quintana. And then Michael Hellman will be getting the start in center field. So there's your Rangers lineup tonight. And hopefully, hey, go ahead. Make this happen against Colorado. Last year they swept them at Globe Life Field. Now they play in Colorado. Hopefully we can get the bats going.
How do you feel about Quintana? Seems like he put some guys on.
He does. Like, I think Quintana easily can be had. The issue is he's a lefty, and this team just hasn't hit well against lefties. But I do think that – I don't think Quintana's anything special. Like, I think this – especially at the top of the order, you got two guys that have had success against him in McCutchen and Nimmo, and then Young and Berger, who have been two of your better hitters. I mean, Young really throughout the season, Berger as of late. You've got a good opportunity with those top four to get going. And you know what? I'm going to put in the call for a Michael Hellman home run tonight. There's something about that. First game back, one of the little rascals, made the most of his opportunities last year. Give me a Hellman bomb tonight. All right, guys, what are your home run picks, huh? Give me something. Off the dome, off the dome. Quick.
I'm going to go Jungle Cat.
Yeah, it's got to be a righty.
Needs to get some power going. Berger, I think, would be a great answer. He's probably the most likely, but we need to see that slug out of Josh Young.
Okay, Josh Young, boom.
I'm going to go with Jake Berger.
Call bombs, me crazy. Berger bombs. Lucius, give me a home run pick. I know. I got you in the moment. Right off the dome. Home run pick tonight. Let's go.
Shoot, man. Yeah, come on.
On the spot.
What are we doing here?
Just throw a name out there.
It can be Hamilton.
I'm going to go with the big Berger bomb, too.
I love it. All right, let's go. Okay, 214 is going Kutch. Home run call. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Hellman. Let's go. Let's make this happen. Have you guys watched the Phillies at all lately? They're on the TV right now behind us. Dolly just struck out. Surprise.
What was it yesterday? It was Wheeler against Skeens. I think they swept the Pirates.
Yeah.
Who are you telling, Wolchuk?
Now, you're plugged in, baby. 15-4 under interim manager Don Mattingly. They're now over 500. I mean, they had such a poor start to the season, but Don Mattingly has really turned this around. Now, I hate to see it because it's filthy. But all of a sudden, boom, Bryce Harper, he's got 12 home runs on the year. They go ahead and shut out the Pirates yesterday. They're playing right now as we speak, taking on the Reds. They're up 2-1 on the top of the second. But Don Mattingly, just what the doctor ordered for filthy, baby. Interesting.
Baseball.
Mariners.
By the way, Rangers batting average against lefties.
Yeah?
193.
Not good.
Good for 25th in baseball. There's five teams worse. We'll check back to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I went 7-7, but they're going to make Quintana look like prime Roger Clemens. It is an anniversary. Speaking of prime pitchers, the great one, the big unit himself, Randy Johnson. 16th player in MLB history to throw a perfect game this day 22 years ago. He was 40 years old. Almost 41, 40 years and 251 days old, more than 3 years older than any other pitcher in the history of baseball to throw a perfect game. So just because you're 40, man, doesn't mean you can't go out there and have the greatest accomplishment of your life.
Yeah, he was one of the most dominating pitchers I've ever witnessed. You know, I don't know if he gets enough consideration.
That extension.
Oh, the extension. Are you kidding me? It was the extension, dude.
Now, one trade earlier, they got
we used to watch him while I was working for the fishing and hunting news up there in Seattle. I lived in Seattle for 2 years.
Incredible.
We'd have it on our little black and white TV there in the corner of the phone room. And we'd actually bet on you could buy squares of how many strikeouts he would have.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Ooh.
And
you had a drawing for the top spots, you know, because if you were like the 15th pick, then you'd be looking at, okay, I got to bet four strikeouts or 19 strikeouts.
That
which one
fun,
am I going
though.
With?
Yeah, that keeps it interesting. One trade that maybe CY wants back would be the Liam Hicks trade as
Carson Kelly.
Yeah, they swapped him for Carson Kelly, who obviously didn't do much as a Texas Ranger. He was supposed to bring immaculate vibes, which he might have done, but Liam Hicks through this season with the Marlins, only player in Marlins history with 40 or more RBIs through 43 games of a season, originally a 2021 ninth-round pick of the Texas Rangers. He's been fantastic, 26-year-old catcher, and boy, could the Rangers use a 26-year-old catcher right now. That arrow is pointing up. So, Liam Hicks.
Ouch.
That one hurts.
Nine bombskis.
Yeah.
283 average.
He's been fantastic. He really
your best
has.
Offensive player other than Josh Jung right now.
Yeah. No doubt he would be. Garrett Cole could make his season debut this week with the elbow for the Yankees. Still amazing just how dominant the Yankees have been for the majority of this season without even having Carlos Rodon and Garrett Cole. And the Mariners, they're calling up their top prospect, Colt Emerson. That era is underway. Number one prospect for the M's, number six overall prospect in all of Major League Baseball. So they called him up yesterday. He went 0 for 2, two flyouts to right, did score a run after he reached on a walk. But that'll be something to watch. I mean, how does he end up doing as the Mariners are trying to get that offense going? Cal Raleigh, we've detailed that, has had a rough start to the season. But the American League West is still there. It's still up for grabs. I mean, heck, boys, if the season ended today, Rangers are a playoff team right now.
That is crazy, dude.
Isn't it?
Two games under 500 in the playoffs.
But I mean,
I'm feeling great about their chances, too. Call me crazy. No, line them up.
I'm not calling you crazy. Because
we can win 3-2 games in October.
Yeah, the schedule's lightened up. And yes, I mean, with that type of pitching, you can win come postseason time. Now, who do you think is the longest tenured Texas Ranger? I had trouble with this question earlier.
Seager?
Dang.
Scanning?
That's a tough one, right?
Yeah. Who?
And I mean, Seager's not a bad guess.
Zeke?
It's Seager.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So it was a great guess.
Yeah.
See, it was the guess.
Well, I was waiting for you to throw something out there. I didn't want to give it away by saying, yeah, Seager's correct, but then you left me
There's
hanging.
There's just been so much turnover.
Yeah, right? Like, it's wild. Corey Seager, your longest tenured Texas Ranger right now. You look at the rest of the division. Mike Trout, of course, with the Angels. Jose Altuve, who is also on the IL now with the Houston Astros. J.P. Crawford in Seattle. And then Shea Langeliers with the A's. That's another team that's had a ton of turnover. But, yeah, Corey Seager, your longest tenured Texas Ranger. Now, I mentioned this earlier. Bob Nightingale put out there that the Cubbies are looking at possibly trying to trade for some starting pitching here at the deadline. Now, this happens after Matthew Boyd suffered that knee injury. He was playing with his kiddos. That was right ahead of the Rangers series, and then he got placed on the IL. But they've had a ton of injuries to their starting rotation. Shota Imanaga, Edward Cabrera, Tyone, Colin Ray, Ben Brown. I mean, they need starting pitching in a bad way. Now, I don't think this is going to end up being the case where the Rangers are sellers. I think because of this division, they're going to end up, you know, being a team that is competing and still buying ultimately. But if the Cubs or another team that is in the hunt starts calling, they're like, hey, we're going to offer you a really enticing package to go and get one of your better pitchers, whether it's a DeGrom, whether it's an Eovaldi. Heck, maybe somebody has really fallen in love with one of your younger guys, a Leiter, a Rocker, a Latz. I mean, what Jacob Latz? All of a sudden, if you think, should this Rangers team be in rebuilding mode? And we saw in 2023, it's very hard to give up. Like, that was a team that faded down the stretch. You're thinking there's no chance they're going to do damage in the postseason. And what do? They go on a run to win a World Series.
Yeah.
So in baseball, it's so weird. And the way that this season's going, I think they're going to be in the hunt and ultimately be buyers. But I think deep down, like, if we try and talk to our Ranger soul in the mirror, this team is not good enough to realistically do what we need them to do. I don't think that this lineup, when now you have a 2.5-year sample size, is going to all of a sudden click and be awesome.
No. Your only hope is that Langford and Seager come back and they are the best versions of themselves. And then you can maybe convince yourself that, okay, you're maybe one bat away from being a legit playoff team, not a two games under 500 limping in and you're only in because everybody around you sucks. But I don't know that you can bank on that.
No, you can't. But I think hitting's only half the game, obviously, and this pitching staff is so good it's not like they're scoring 2.5 runs per game. It's 3.7, right? So we need to find upwards of 4.5 to 5, and then we'd be great. So, you know, to me it's there, and your doubt of this team, Wolchuk, surprises me.
Yeah, I just think that, like, they're a 500 baseball team.
Yeah.
I mean, I really just think that that's what they are. I think the pitching's fantastic. Yeah, and maybe 500, hell, that could win you this division this year. You know, and if they get in, you never know. But it's hard because as soon as you start to really get excited, you're like, okay, it clicked. Boom, they drop 2 out of 3 against Houston. You know, I'm thinking, like, they're going to peak and go on a nice run here and ascend. This is a big series, I think, for Rangers fan confidence. They got it.
Absolutely.
Colorado's bad. I get the weather's probably not going to be great, but you need to go and take care of business with a sweep here. We need to be talking about the Broomsticks day game, day baseball on Wednesday.
By the way, is Langoliers maybe a sleeper candidate for last name, name change, trip up to the courthouse? A Langolier from the Stephen King novel. Would you like this to describe your family or not? A terrifying interdimensional orb-like creature with razor-sharp circular teeth. That's what a Langolier is.
Oh, my gosh.
Sounds kind of badass.
It's a non-alien monster.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Non-alien?
That's terrifying.
Non-alien monster.
That is terrifying.
Sounds also very much alien-like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Stephen King stuff.
Years.
You know,
damn.
Sci-fi stuff.
I never. That's crazy. I would have never known that.
You should watch the series, I think, right? Into the series?
Yeah, yeah. They made a series out of it, and maybe a movie.
Okay.
Maybe a novel. Novel and a series.
There is something kind of badass to it.
There is.
If you wrap your arms around it. But it also is a little bit violent, a little bit evil.
Yeah, I wouldn't want my kids Googling what's a Langolier.
Yeah,
where do I come from?
Just for the kids. I get that. 972 said I'd trade the whole Rangers team for 5 gallon buckets of diarrhea.
Oh, ooh, wow.
It's a bit graphic and vulgar and disgusting.
When catalyst bats in lineups change everything. Give us a couple of guys they got to fear and everything will be ratcheted up.
Maybe we should go get Langoliers.
When's the last time the Rangers won more than 2 games in a row?
Gosh. 2025?
No, they've done it. They've done it this year. It was.
They won 2 games to end a series, and then started with a 1-game win of another series.
They had the sweeper on the Mariners.
Okay.
In like the first week of April.
Wow. So last over
time,
a month.
Last time they won 3 games in a row.
Mm.
Like they gotta build. Like you said, you get a little bit excited. They win 2 games in a row, and then they fumble fart the next couple. Like, they need to get some type of streak going where for a Monday through Friday, we're talking about Rangers victories.
Yeah, we need this to happen. Now, Skip Schumacher did just say that Ezekiel Duran is going to get most of the playing time at shortstop with Corey Seager out, per Kennedy Landry. Also, Justin Foss, he's going to get most of the second base reps. Hellman will mostly play the outfield, but is also the backup shortstop. So there's kind of how they're going to maneuver things with the infield and outfield with Corey now on the 10-day IL.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Pregame coming up at 7. We'll give you keys to Rangers victory coming up in the final segment of our show tonight. But next, I think it's the 620 Hodges back, Chief.
Yes, sir. Let's prep our bodies for Game 1, OKC versus the Spurs next in the nation.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time now for a little Hodge there with the Chief. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And here he is, Eric.
940 says Spurs in 5, going 6 max. Ho, ho, ho. Game 1, Western Conference Finals, right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no
have
one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket Sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We get the 7:30 tip off. This is going to be a Peacock. Okay, so make sure you got the Peacock dialed up for Spurs Thunder game number one. This is going to be, I think, a really good series. I think it's going to be an awesome series.
You think or you know? I need you to know.
I know next to nothing, Walchuk, but I do have a good feeling that the Thunder are going to run into quite the challenge with the Spurs. You've seen it all regular season long, and Wemby is just a tough guy to have to go up against night in, night out for the duration of a series. Like, he's going to have some unbelievable games. He's maybe the best defender I've ever seen.
You think he's the best player of all time?
Then you get him going offensively. It's like this is a lot to ask for. So I'm hoping for an instant classic. I would imagine the NBA is as well, because you had the Game 7 yesterday. You've had some series go a little bit further, but a lot of these games, even if the series comes down to 6 or 7 games, there's just blowouts. You know, they need some high drama finishes in some of these games here.
It's been boring.
This series,
I'm hoping, lives up to the hype. I mean, it's really all been coming down to this.
Yes, this is what we've been building to. The 8-3-2. Says the 940, who has the Spurs winning in 5, 832 says that dude is smoking something good, and we'll probably get a gentleman sweep here.
It's so crazy how many Thunder and Spurs fans are out there, and they're so fired up about this, and I envy them right now. I wish the Mavs were this good so we could be participating to this extent. I do think the case for San Antonio winning it's tough to make after watching OKC dominate to the extent they have. But to your point, Wemby gives you a shot. You know, can you get such elite rim protection without fouling Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that you can make OKC make shots from the outside? I think so. And can you rebound the ball better than the majority of Thunder opponents? Absolutely. You secure those two things. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not destroying you, and their offensive rebounding advantage has been mitigated. I can see both those things happening. Now, how do we get quality offense against the OKC defense, which I think is generational? It's the one thing that doesn't get enough credit about what they do. It's the chaos that they force you into because they are so good and so quick and so long. So, you know, I think it comes down to De'Aaron Fox. You know, can this be his coming out party coming off of a sprained ankle? Can he be right and kill so much from an individual perspective? I think he's the closest thing I've seen to Kyrie Irving.
Spurs really did handle the Thunder well in the regular season.
Yeah. I think they've won 4 of the last 5.
Sure
and
did.
And I think part of that might actually help the Thunder here, just because it's like you definitely are respecting this opponent.
Yes.
You're coming in with a little bit of like, oh, they think they're better than us. Like, they're going to be even more locked in than usual. But, Lucius, how do you feel about this particular series?
Barring injury, I see the Spurs winning this one.
Oh!
Nice. You might be right, Lucius. I mean,
barring injury. Now, if your boy goes out, the alien, it's OKC.
Oh, yeah. No, if Wemby.
Yeah, they don't have
goes
a
down,
yeah.
But I see Spurs.
Okay.
And a long, tough battle.
Yeah, it's like the Mavs just matched up really well against OKC, and that's the last playoff series that they lost, was when the Mavs beat them. And the Mavs did so with the bigs, right, with Lively and Gafford. They matched up really well with the size, and I do think the Spurs add that element here. It might just be it's a matchup problem. And if Chet Holmgren's going to be shut down, which it seems like Wemby has a history of doing so,
this
might just lend perfectly right into San Antonio's strengths.
Well, it looks like De'Aaron Fox is expected to play. It was a game-time decision. All signs point to him being able to play tonight, so that's going to be good news for the Spurs there. I saw from Zach Cram of ESPN, he says, this is a pretty rare clash. Western Conference Finals, this is going to be the first playoff matchup this century and just the 7th in NBA history. between teams with 62-plus wins.
Mm.
It's also
That's wild.
Only the seventh playoff matchup and the first since the 1997 finals in which both teams had a plus 8-point differential or better in the regular season.
Wow.
Oklahoma City had a plus 11, and San Antonio was just over plus 8. So they were winning, and they were winning by considerable margins, and now they go toe-to-toe.
I feel like OKC should damn near be a 70-win team, and maybe they would have challenged for something like that had they stayed healthy. San Antonio, and maybe I'll be proven wrong. I had to eat crow on the Seahawks. I didn't believe in the Seahawks probably all the way up to the NFC title game.
Yeah.
But I do feel like San Antonio's success is at least partially dependent upon how many tanking teams we had this year. It's one of the easiest years ever to go win 50 or 60 games if you were actually good.
That is a good poll. But yeah, Wemby versus Chet Holmgren and their head-to-head matchups this season. Four games versus the Spurs. Holmgren averaged his second lowest points against any opponent and shot the second lowest from the field that he had versus any opponent, and his usage rate was his lowest against any opponent. So Wemby's able to really neutralize Holmgren in a big way. And then just what he does from rim protection and everything, like when he just locks in and decides, okay, like they're not getting a bucket on this possession, it just feels like he can do it. It's like, yeah. I can guard the three-point line and block your shot all at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really just ridiculous what he does. So I'm excited.
The Thunder are so great at driving and kicking that they need Wemby to do that by himself so his teammates can stay home.
Yeah. Yeah, and 972, I'm not doing the Matt Mosley thing with the shades. Intentionally, at least. I had the eye problem last week, and now we just have the brightest lights in the world in the studio that we've added. So I do know Mosley wears the shades. Yeah. He does it in the press box. So I watched somebody walk up to Mosley in the press box last season and ask him about his glasses and gave like a snarky kind of comment walking away from him. And Mosley's like, I've been doing this for 30 years or whatever. And I don't know. Is that a bit for him or is that?
I think he's got a legit eye problem.
Does he have an actual eye problem? Okay. Because I do see him wearing the sunglasses all the time. And somebody said something to me. Yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years. Like, why are you even talking to me about this right now?
Tremendous character.
He is. I love Mosley.
So
dude.
Entertaining to me. I don't know how anybody would imagine you could go up to Mosley and like razz him about wearing sunglasses inside and think you're going to get him. He probably thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. He's like, I've been doing this literally forever.
What's up with
okay.
you?
How long have you even been here? Now, we do have some sound in case you guys were wondering how Boston Celtics NBA Finals MVP Jaylen Brown feels about Stephen A. Smith. Let's ask him himself, Jaylen. What are your thoughts on Stephen A?
Stephen A, Stephen A, Stephen B, Stephen C.
Okay, all Stephen of them, A, all the Stevens. He is not happy with Stephen A. Smith. They're in a nice little media feud right now because Jaylen Brown likes to stream and talk randomly about things. Best season, most fun season he's ever had.
Yeah, he should have said that part right there.
Shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, you were out in the first round. Hey, man, but still one of my best seasons ever, though.
Really?
That's crazy.
Really fun season for me.
That's crazy.
I know we won the championship, and I was the MVP at one point, but this season here where we got knocked out in the first round, that was my most fun season. Stephen A's been all over him ever since then, and now they're going back and forth. I think Stephen A's spending a couple of first take segments just screaming at Jaylen Brown from a distance there, trying to get him on first take so they can go toe-to-toe. So that's a nice little NBA beef that is currently taking place. Now, there were some disasters this weekend, including at Six Flags over Texas.
Oh, no. This
where
is terrifying.
They had the electrical issues and the park shut down. Mm. Mid-ride for some folks.
Yeah.
I saw people having to walk down the steps of giant roller coasters. I couldn't tell which one it was.
How did you even get to those steps? Did they have to bring a giant crane to pluck you out of the upside-down ride?
That's a good
and
question.
And move you over to the staircase?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Like, what happened to those people?
It's an all-time,
I don't know.
All-time
That's a
nightmare
great
moment, dude.
Yeah,
if there was ever a chance that I was going to ride one of these monstrosities, it ended this weekend.
That's your final straw?
Yeah.
Never again.
That's going to be in the back of my head. Like, wait, the power could go out, too?
Yeah.
So now I got to worry about my fat gut, like, stretching out as we get high and me sliding out. I couldn't relax from that.
No.
And now you add this, you know, one of my main fears growing up as a skier was that the power was going to go out at the ski resort and you would have to be, evacuated from that.
Yeah.
And that might have chased me off the hill, you know, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I mean, I guarantee you there's tons of people that were there and will never go back because of the horror that they experienced. Now, I didn't see anybody get hurt or anything like that.
Boy, that wind was kicking up this weekend, too, bro.
Yes.
You had to walk down them steps. Yes. You're way up there, and the wind is just...
Yeah. Some of the people that were, like, going down on their butts, that would be me on those steps.
Me too, fam.
There's no way I could stand up and look over that tiny-ass rail 300 feet in the air. Down a flight of stairs.
That's how I was when I went to Mexico a few years ago with my wife, and they have, like, the Mayan ruins, and they have these, like, big, like, steep stone things that you can climb up. And then you go up, and all of a sudden you're up at the top, and you're like, dang, I got to get down.
Yeah.
And you're going down these super steep stairs, and everybody's walking down. My wife's walking down. She's pregnant and walking down, and I am sitting and going butt to step every time. Like, I'm not risking this, dude. But that was pretty dang scary for Six Flags. I don't know which ride it was, but it looked like it might as well have been the Titan. People were up super high and people freaking out, like clinging on to the railing and going super slow. Mm.
Yeah.
That's a disaster of all time right there. Being at the roller coaster park and the electricity shutting down. They reopened. That happened on Saturday. They reopened on Sunday. I guess everything was all gravy. Well,
Aaron Fox out.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. Shams, San Antonio Spurs star Aaron Fox has been ruled out for game one of the finals against the OKC Thunder due to that ankle sprain.
Oh, Mark dang, J.
Spears,
dude.
Co-signing.
I think Wemby's got to be so good in this series that we'll be talking about him like he should have won the MVP. That's what the debate's got to be. If De'Aaron Fox is going to miss this game, and if the sprained ankle is bad enough that he misses this game, he might not play in the series.
Yeah, that is going to be extra difficult now for the young guards there for San Antonio having to pick up the slack, and Wemby's just going to have to go scorched.
Stephon Castle's got it.
There was also some other crazy stuff this weekend. Did you guys see the Navy air show?
Yes.
In Idaho?
Yeah.
Where the two planes collide?
Terrible.
And then the four crew members ejected safely. You see it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like, I can't believe I'm watching this. The explosion at the on the ground when the planes land. But then you see the parachutes and all four guys were able to eject out of that thing.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
I can't imagine, like, I guess they have an incredible amount of training to know when to eject.
For sure.
But those jets are coming together, and one of them kind of sits down on the top of the other one. So you can't eject then, or you're going into the bottom of the plane.
Yeah.
And then both planes just kind of turn vertical and hang, like they're Jordan in a dunk contest. We're just going to hang up here for a half tick and then start dropping, and you see all the parachutes
insanity
at that point, and it's just like, those people have to be built different because you've seen all these accidents happening at air shows.
Yeah.
A lot of them are fatal.
Yeah, we had one here, remember, in Dallas, man?
Yes.
That classic air show, whatever the heck it was. World War II planes.
It's really insane to watch. Like, it freaked me out. And when I watched it in the moment, I didn't realize that they had ejected. Like, I just thought, oh my gosh, these dudes just got blown up. But then when you go back and watch it, it's like black smoke. And then here's four parachutes just floating down, and one of the parachutes looked like it caught on fire.
No way.
But I guess it was still able to get the dude down, like
flame retardant.
Really, really insane.
You get
video.
Your butt kicked being ejected too.
There you go.
All those G-forces, boom, boom. Yeah, they kick your butt getting out of there.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, whiplash and all types of weird things can happen.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and then yesterday I had a 3-foot snake crawling in my backyard.
That's right.
Trying to go outside to play some kickball with the girls, and I screamed like, oh, my gosh. And my wife thought I was being dramatic about something. I'm like, yeah, come look at this. And then she was like, oh, okay, now I get it. I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. I'm sending the picture to, like, my parents and, like, the family group message. I'm throwing it into ChatGPT, like, tell me what this snake is. And then I'm, like, animal control. Everybody's closed on Sundays. So it was like, my dad was like, dude, get a shovel and decapitate that thing. I didn't have the stones to do that. It ended up, after about 20 minutes of chilling in my backyard, it went around to the front and into the driveway. So I don't know how you would grade this, but I went with the run it over technique.
Oh, was there any witnesses to this?
There were witnesses to this. unfortunately.
Were they young?
In terms of my wife and my children, yeah.
The kids got to see this.
They saw it.
Shout out to your dad for making memories. They'll never forget that.
Honey brought us here for his instant reaction. Oh, we got to make sure we recap this on Thursday.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Just call it Chia Follow, girls. Here's another dead animal.
We had flashbacks to the raccoons that were... that were killed.
They're going to be telling this story to like 35. They're going to be telling the same story.
Oh, they will.
Dad ran over a snake. How many times did it get you to you just ran it over once?
Oh, dude, I had to hit that thing. I mean, I...
This fool ran over the snake and backed up, and it ran over the kid in front of the little girls.
How many times was it?
I probably went forward and backwards on that thing.
They are traumatized,
like six times, because it keeps like wiggling and popping its head up. And
yeah, they die slowly, don't they?
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's done. And then, no, it's not. So, I did it like five or six times.
Slow death, huh?
Man, I'm sure Snake Lover Man is just lighting the text up right now and your socials.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Like, oh, they'll kill pests and, you know, this.
Yeah, the dude in Grand Prairie with the King Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
He's hitting you right now.
Dude, yeah, I put it on Twitter to be like, what should I do about this? And I will say, most people were like, yo, that snake's so big, like, you're moving out of that house and you're killing that thing.
Yeah.
Now, there were a handful of people like, oh, no, it's fine. It's all good. It's not going to hurt anything. And I'm like, I can't live knowing I have a 3-foot snake crawling around here.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to hurt me or not. Like, no way.
Yeah.
It was hard enough to sleep last night anyways, knowing that thing was dead.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
Especially for your little girls, too. They keep seeing the image of that snake getting ran over and back up and ran over.
I did a post-game little interview with them. This is some sound. This is my 6-year-old and my 3-year-old.
Post-game interview.
I just ran over the snake, and this is their commentary.
Daddy, maybe the snake is smiling.
Oh, you think that snake's happy right now?
Yeah.
Positive spirit.
Daddy, it gives me the creeps.
It's not as crazy as killing those raccoons with Mr. Sam.
Bro.
It's
totally crazy. That one was just bleeding. This one has guts. And it's bleeding. And it's moving.
Can you help me scoop it into a trash bag?
I want to.
Thanks, Lou.
I want to.
You're going to get so scared, Lou, you're going to cry. All right, go get close to it.
No.
Why not touch it? Yeah, because it will move, and it will bite me on the start. Gee, just put your finger in its mouth. No.
You're crazy, dude.
So my older one is trying to convince the younger one to go mess with it. And my younger one was great. She was being positive, thinking that when the snake was dead and going afterwards, she thought it was smiling.
Happy.
I was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one scarred him, I think.
Is the cutest thing when little girls say bruh, though. The rhetorical bruh.
Yeah.
Bro. Yeah, my wife's
upset because I say dude and bro all the time. And that's what I call them. And so they call me that. And I don't care. My wife's like, come on. Stop it.
Yeah, she should just be happy they're not calling her bro yet. That's coming.
It's coming. Well, I already had that conversation with her about me. I was calling my wife bro too much, apparently.
Oh.
She didn't like that.
I love it, man. Well, thanks for a little behind the scenes there at the Chief House.
Yeah, dude, it was great.
Snake has been eliminated.
That's awesome.
Okay, we got to step aside. When we come back, we'll get you Rangers keys to victory as pregame's coming up at 7 o'clock. They're in Colorado to take on the Rockies here on 105.3.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan. All righty. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Pardon me. Rangers pregame is coming up here at the top of the hour. I got a couple of Rangers questions for you. How about 16 seconds on soccer? World Cup right around the corner. Jose Mourinho headed back to Real Madrid. He said his goodbyes at Benfica. Man City resigned to losing Pep Guardiola. And the FC Dallas offense is kind of working again. 8 goals in the last 3 matches. They were victorious Saturday against San Jose 3-2. So soccer is in the air with the World Cup right around the corner. We go to the Twitter. Did y'all ask CY why he traded away the only good offensive players in the organization? That's a reference to the catcher.
Liam Hicks.
Liam Hicks, who's crushing. He has 40 ribbies. And maybe Marcus Semien, who's on a little bit of a heater.
Oh, is he now?
As well.
Don't care.
Yeah.
I think the Semien thing. Look, Brandon Nimmo's been great.
Yeah, Nimmo's been great.
Nimmo's been great.
We'll see what happens with Semien, and that, you know, that story will evolve as the season goes on. I'm not totally willing to punt on the idea that maybe CY needs some help evaluating offensive talent.
I think that's fair. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that fair?
And that's fair.
I think there's plenty of people in the organization over the years that have done a tremendous job of finding offensive players, and I won't be surprised if more of that is on the cards. But right now, I think criticism isn't just totally random and chaotic. And you know how much CY is our guy.
100%. You should fight with Jared about that. I'll side with you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Believe it when I see it.
Keys to victory tonight. I think role players stepping up for the next week, Wolchuk.
Let's go. The Michael Hellman.
Can we get lucky with Hellman and Haggerty and Zeke Duran, Osuna?
He's on an 8-game on base streak.
Nimmo. But, I mean, with Seager now out for the next week with this damn back, it's time to get lucky where when your best players are down, can you have role players have a 2 or 3 home run week? Quintana versus Gore is huge. Who can work deep into counts? Who can avoid the free passes?
Yep.
Get base runners on, because both these guys have a whip situation that is much less than ideal. And then in Colorado, I think make sure the barrel is in your favor. You know, when you do make contact, are you hitting it just on the button a little bit, so a 350-foot fly out in other ballparks is, you know, a home run for you. I that can absolutely be possible. The bullpen has to have a great series as well, because once you get into inning 7, 8, 9, like a 2 or 3 run advantage can evaporate real quickly there.
Absolutely.
In Colorado. So
and score first. They're 17-3 when they score first.
That's what's on the top of my mind. And then, Chief, what did you have earlier as far as the Rangers being big sellers or big buyers? No compromise move. It's going to be one or the other in a strong way.
Yeah, it was Evan Grant over the weekend. He was taking questions from frustrated Rangers fans on Twitter, and one of the Rangers fans was like, man, just blow this whole thing up. Please sell it. My gosh, it's ridiculous. And Evan Grant said, he says, I have full confidence that there will be no in-between this year when it comes to the deadline. The Rangers will either be real buyers or bulk sellers. He says, I just think it's way too early and pointless to make that determination right now.
Would you be disappointed if they sold everything off? I think I'd be like, guys, what are we doing? We're so close. Just get committed. We don't need to be blowing this thing up.
You know what I'm going to say? No, I wouldn't be disappointed.
Wow.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you, Wolchuk. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup here. Master Control, 75-635. Just won a full 5 flawless. Rangers baseball coming up at the top of the hour. Thanks to Eric Chiafalo as well. Back tomorrow at 2. Rangers player show every Tuesday at 3:20. We're looking forward to that. Till tomorrow, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.